Wow.
Yeah, no, I was waiting for you to do it. Greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers.
I keep throwing Mark off because I get excited. Five gold rings. No, I get very excited to do these. And then Mark looks at me because I always like jump in and say, greetings, yep. travelers. But I hope everyone out there listening appreciates my enthusiasm and appreciates that we are having a really fun holiday season. Regardless of how you celebrate or not, you could be one of those people that likes to sit at home and watch horror movies in your pajamas. Go for it. Whatever floats your boat and makes you happy, that's what I want you to do.
Well, we're on Boxing Day now, or Happy Saturnalia for our ancient Roman friends. And, you know.
Just in case anyone's wondering, we have many ancient Roman friends.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Salve. We got
thousands of them.
Yeah, they message us all the time. So
yeah, Mark's crazy. Just in case anyone's wondering. But yes, no, this is an exciting time, and we thought we'd make it super exciting by having to do zero work except for read your stories. Now,
yeah, you guys gave us presents. You gave us tons of listener tales, and we are happy to do them. I mean, this is becoming literally a monthly thing now, and we can probably do two a month, but we need to do our other episodes too. So, but
We love them. And just to set the stage for all of you out there listening, Mark tricked me into recording this episode at night.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And I'll know how I feel about recording these at night.
Yeah.
Mark tricked me into recording this at night. So that's where I'm at right now. So I'm sure I'm going to get freaked out.
You all send us spooky stuff, and it's all about, you know, scaring Erica. So, and intriguing me. And now, again, as always, these are sent from you guys. We're just reading them as we got them. We don't investigate. We're not making any claims about, oh, this is amazing. This is real. This is that. This is what you sent us. But we are excited to read them. We are taking you at your word. And some of these people we have sent teams out to investigate, and some of the stuff's come back pretty crazy over the years. So we've had some follow-ups.
That is very true. And as much as we'd like to say we don't read them in advance, I don't read them in advance. Mark likes to skim them because he's that kid that unwrapped presents early if he could get away with it, and then like carefully rewrapped it so nobody would know he already found out he was getting a Nintendo when they first came out, you know?
Well, I had to make sure that in case anybody really needs, you know, help immediately and stuff. So that is the reason I do it. So, but
yep.
Anyway, oh my gosh.
Always says that. So anyway,
there's not a lot of those, but there are some,
So where how do you want to do this, Mark? I'm going to let you decide. Am I starting or are you starting?
Oh, I get to pick this time. Cause every time you do, you get, you kind of screw yourself. So,
well, I'm going to be screwed either way this happens. Yeah. I already know that. So I've given up trying to thwart it. Look, I said it right the first time. Thwart. That is such a weird word. And my mouth hurts trying to say it. Thwart. See, I just screwed it up. Anyway, you choose.
Good word. Good word. I'll start.
Okay, so, fine. Go.
Okay. Greetings from Greensburg, Pennsylvania, Main Street.
Hey. Oh, greetings.
Greetings. My sighting would have been in the fall of 2018, right around the time I met my husband. Well, congratulations.
Was the sighting your husband? That's what I want to know.
There we go. We were driving home from a friend's house at maybe 2 a.m. It was dark, but the street lamps shone bright. There on the corner near a school, train tracks, and a giant dumpster, there it stood. I assumed I was losing my marbles, so I kept my mouth shut and continued to drive. The thing was like 10 feet tall. Its fur was so thick, and like a sloth, it seemingly had its own ecosystem. It stood still as a statue on the sidewalk. No one else was around, no other cars. All of a sudden, I heard my husband say, "Did you see that? Is this real?" We turned around, and we were about 3 blocks away, and it was nowhere to be found. Prior to this, I had laughed at the idea of believing in a Bigfoot, but now I know they do exist. There's my report, Ginger.
Oh, Ginger, I love that epic love story that started with a big, giant, furry man. creature. I think that's interesting because it's, you know, when you see stuff, I was talking to my husband about this the other day, was that a lot of times when you see stuff, you're so not prepared for certain things. Like there was an accident, unfortunately, the other day where somebody had turned the wrong direction on the street and another person hit them headlong, right?
Yep.
And we were talking about how could that happen? I mean, the headlights are flashing right in front of you. And I said, I think it's because you don't expect them to be there. Right. And so your brain cannot get to the point where you're like, oh my God, there's a car coming towards me in time to stop or move or whatever, because your brain is trying to register what's happening.
And it's speed too. I mean, you've only got a short reaction time. And think about that when something's coming at you and you're going at it, that's halved or even quartered. It's exponentially slow, you know? So you have very limited time.
Bigfoot, you start going, was that a statue? Is that somebody in a costume? Like you start going down the analytical part of your brain that tries to explain how that's not a Bigfoot standing right there. And, you know, sometimes we need confirmation from other people going, did you see that? Or did you hear that? Because you don't want to even trust yourself. So Ginger, thank you for sharing your story. I love that.
Ginger, I will file that with the BFRO. We've got a date and we've got a location. So, boom.
Yeah, thank you. I love it. Okay. Greetings, travelers.
Greetings.
True story. I encountered an entity on Mount Washington. Oh.
Okay.
Where is Mount Washington?
Not sure. I'll Google.
You Google it while I read.
Yep.
I grew up in Boston area and went to a YMCA summer camp in New Hampshire from the time I was 8. Once I was 16, I was old enough to be a counselor in training, a CIT, C-I-T, okay. The rite of passage for the CITs, C-I-Ts, I'm going to say C-I-Ts because it sounds like I'm saying zit and it's weird. Yeah.
And it is in New Hampshire.
Okay, good. Okay. The rite of passage for the C-I-Ts was to hike Mount Washington together, the tallest peak in the White Mountains. Mount Washington is known for having the worst weather on Earth, and over 100 hikers have died trying to summit. Why would this be the rite of passage then? We hiked for the first day and stopped at a cabin near the summit overnight. All the CIT slept on the floor of the cabin in sleeping bags. I had trouble falling asleep for some reason. After an hour or so, I started to hear what I thought was my fellow CITs talking in their sleep. At first, it was just the occasional grunting. Gradually, it intensified, and it didn't sound like my friends' voices. The voices were guttural, almost demonic. They were wailing, crying out for help, clearly in distress. The voices would occur every few moments, intensify to many voices at once, and then slow down again. This happened the entire night. I was still not sure if they were coming from my friends' bodies or elsewhere in the room. They were all around me, but so were my sleeping friends, so I'm not sure. I never saw anyone speak. This was 2005. I had no cell phone with me or way to document it. I woke up the person next to me at one point during the night because I wanted somebody to witness it. But when he asked me why I was waking up and I started to explain there are strange noises everywhere, I realized how crazy I sounded and told him, never mind, go back to bed. The whole night I laid there listening to voices cry for help.
Oof.
At dawn, I was laying wide awake. As the sun come up, I saw handprints on the outside of the windows in the morning dew. I was almost relieved to see this because I thought it meant I wasn't crazy. And that if I told my friends what happened when they woke up and they saw the handprints, they might believe me. But the dew drops washed away the handprints by the time the others woke. I never told them. I just hiked to the summit, went back to the camp, and didn't tell anyone for several years. At first, I didn't want to tell anyone because I didn't think they would ever believe me. As an adult, I now frequently tell the story when the topic of ghosts comes up. About 6 months ago, I told the story to a few people over drinks at the bar. A few minutes later, one of them showed me a photo of a cabin. He asked, was this the cabin? Somehow, I never thought to look up the cabin on the internet. I didn't know the name of it or where on Mount Washington it was. Also, when this happened in 2005, the main search engine was Ask Jeeves, which was entirely useless. Oh. I never thought I'd be able to find it without knowing the name. Turns out there are not many cabins on Mount Washington, and really only one that comes up when you Google Haunted Cabin Mount Washington. I recognized the cabin in the photo and said, yeah, I think so. Why? He scrolled to the top of the article and it was titled Spend the Night in New Hampshire's Most Haunted Cabin for a Truly Terrifying Experience. I did a deep dive of my old camp Facebook page and confirmed this was indeed the cabin that the CIT stay in every year. According to the article and many other sources I have since found, the shelter was built in 1901 on the site of where two hikers died of hypothermia while trying to summit. It was an especially treacherous part of the climb, and they thought that a shelter would help avoid more deaths. Since then, more hikers have still died in the area, and the cabin is called Lake of the Clouds. Got its reputation for being haunted as early as the 1930s. People have been reporting seeing crowds of ghoulish faces in the windows, having invisible hands push them, etc. It is said to be haunted by something called the Presence, which is a collective of spirits who have died on the mountain and are stuck there. The Presence seems to be an entity that is tied to the mountain itself rather than the hut. Even in the 1800s, there were reports of by the Presence on the trails. Knowing now that this was an experience that others have had makes it impossible for me not to believe it. I don't understand how it's possible, but I definitely know the spirits were speaking to me and asking me for help. It almost makes me want to go back and stay in the hut again to see what they want. I don't think I'll gamble it, though. Total note from me, Dylan. Dylan, you are a human after my own heart. I was like, when I'm reading, he wants to go back. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Why the hell would you go back there? But the asking for help and needing help, bit of a gamble there, Dylan. Bit of a gamble.
I mean, this could be something luring or something like that, but it sounds like it's been here for a long time and probably will be there a long time beyond. So,
yes. Well, there's a travel location if people want to go get the crap scared out of them.
Yep. Just put it on the list. Lake of Clouds Cabin on Mount Washington. So there we go.
Yep. Dylan, thank you for that amazing story. I appreciate that you take the nope advice from me. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing. Okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks again, Dylan. All right. Now, up next, this is a long story, but I had to share. 30-year-old male, if it matters. I'm in sales and Las Vegas is a part of my territory. Although I don't live there, I spend lots of time there for work and need to keep my hotel bill under a certain amount in order for my company to reimburse me. Oh, been there, done that. The Luxor is cheap. Oh, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. The Luxor is cheap, has a good valet parking, and is close to my work event. Plus, I never stayed there before. Probably has some dated charm to it. I thought, fuck it, why not?
I love when that I you paused in. There. I wouldn't have paused. Continue on.
Yeah, well... When I walk into the lobby, I felt a mix of uneasy and curious. The Egyptian theme is so dated, yet the architecture was so ambitious for its time. It's hard not to appreciate it. I get to my room and I just start laughing. This is the worst hotel I've ever stayed in by far. It was built in 93, but for some reason, it feels even more dated than that. I always get a room with two queens everywhere I stay because hotels routinely skimp on blankets. So I take the blankets from one bed and bring them to the other so I'm cozy. No, I do that for pillows. So,
yes.
I do not bring over any pillows since I've had enough and I wouldn't be able to lay down straight with six large pillows. I have to have at least that.
All right. I was going to say, that's amazing that they have huge pillows because every other hotel has gone to those stupid square ones. When we travel, we have to bring our own pillows.
I will just say one thing about the Luxor. When we did stay there, the higher you stay, the hotter it is because the AC just doesn't work higher up. So always try to get a lower room. Anyways, I wake up early, work out in my room, shower. Housekeeping knocks on my door while I'm getting ready. I had to really yell for her to hear that the room was still occupied. That's kind of annoying. So I put up a do not disturb sign on my door handle, which stays on for the entirety of the rest of my stay. Right as I get ready, the fire alarm goes off. Now, this is the first time this has happened at any hotel I've ever stayed at, I thought. While evacuating, security told me the elevator was shut off, but the opposite sides was still functional, meaning the alarm was triggered somewhere on my side of the resort, and I had to take the fire escape down all the way from the 12th floor. I Googled Luxor fire alarm, and I guess this happens a couple of times every month. I wondered if this was the case with every hotel in Vegas, but I chalked it up to being so cheap and attracting a lot of riffraff. I come back to my room a few hours later to meditate and clear my head for a work event. I beeline straight for the window and check out the view. Then I look at my bed. And for some reason, the pillows of the guest bed were stacked up, parallel on top of each other, three high on my bed. Nothing was stolen, and I'm not sure if anything else was misplaced. Wouldn't have remembered the previous location of any other objects in my room, but I know for a fact that I did not do this. Kind of gave me the creeps at first, but then I thought security probably was looking for a cause of the fire alarm and looked in my room, even though I had a do not disturb sign. Then I thought, but why would something that triggers a fire alarm be under the pillows of a guest bed, and why would they stack them so neatly? But I was there for an important work event, was trying to relax. I had better things to focus on. I dimmed the curtains, lay down, and take a deep breath. 20 minutes in, my manager calls me, says he needs me to cover a meeting for him. In a rush, I throw on my things and leave, not touching anything else in my room, plus leaving the curtains closed. I didn't come back until after my work event. Got back to my room around 11, open the door, and my brain's alarm goes off. Again, something didn't look right. The curtains were wide open. I know I didn't leave them that way. Again, nothing was stolen. It's freaked me out because I was just mentally trying to justify this. I thought I just turned the AC on this morning and the windows are diagonal. Maybe the draft opened them on their own. Also, I could have just ADHD'd it, opened my windows on autopilot and forgot I did. I had to gaslight myself to sleep that night, told myself it was just my ADHD and it was in fact me that opened the curtains. But when I thought of what that room looked like when I was leaving earlier, it was dim. That scared me so much that I had to switch on my mental channel. I had to imagine myself opening the curtains and forgetting, and pictured it so many times it finally seemed plausible. I didn't shower that night out of the fear that something was messing with me. It might take me being naked, wet, and vulnerable as an opportunity to escalate. I prayed hard while constant bumping and tapping occurred throughout the night. I chalked up the noises to loud, unruly neighbors, but the whole time I never saw anyone leave or enter any of the rooms around me. In the morning, I looked at the curtains, still closed. It wasn't a draft that opened them yesterday. I got on a call with my team, said I was excited to leave because the weird shit keeps happening. They asked me what I meant. I told them everything. One of my colleagues, who was a Vegas local, told me, oh, the Luxor is notorious for being haunted and cursed. It's a well-known thing people have said about staying here. As I was leaving, I ran into a security guard outside the elevator and I asked her if security goes into rooms, even if they have a do not disturb sign on, if the fire alarm is going on, to see what the origins were. She basically said they can do that on paper, but she doesn't remember a time that they've ever done that. I told her about the pillows and about the curtain being open. She wasn't giving me anything, so I straight up asked her if the place was haunted. She told me no, and that she's never heard that, and no one's ever reported that to her. And I thought, weird, maybe my coworker just knows a couple of people who are BSers. Maybe all this stuff wasn't in my head. I asked the front desk about security going into rooms. They said never. Then I asked about guests reporting objects moving into rooms and they're gone. She again said, no, never, never heard of that. Wasn't giving me an inch. Then I said, all right, be straight with me. Is this place haunted? Have any other guests reported unexplainable things happening in the rooms? Nope, never heard that from any guests. That's terrible. Somebody moved your stuff around. You should file a report. I smiled and said it was all right because nothing was stolen. Then I Googled, is the Luxor haunted? Nothing popped up. I would have dropped it. Boy, it was obvious at this point the point employees were trained to gaslight. Ghosts are bad for business. Not only is this a common experience among guests at the Luxor, but it is one of the most common experiences among travelers. It is incredibly well known and documented to be a paranormal hotbed. I'm glad I didn't know this while I was staying there, or else I wouldn't have slept at all. In the Google search result, the fourth result was a 3-star review about the 12th floor being haunted. I had stayed on the 12th floor. Not only did I stay there, but my room was the closest to the elevator, right in the middle of the 12th floor, and the most 12th floor room on the haunted on the 12th floor is that, if you will. I guess this place has been cursed from the very beginning with lots of deaths and construction, mafia deaths buried beneath the property, allegedly, four suicides between its opening in 93 and now, a couple of murders, accidental deaths from safety hazards on some of the attractions. I heard the shape of the resort doesn't help. I'm no expert. Never staying in that fucking place ever again. Glad it's being demolished in 2026. Good riddance, Liam.
Well, Liam, I feel you, boo. I hate that hotel. I like to go from hotel to hotel when I gamble in Vegas. I like slot machines in Texas Hold'em. But walking in there, I will just tell you, it's interesting, but hard pass. No.
Yeah, that one I stayed at for a couple conferences myself. And yeah, I agree. I'm glad it's being demolished. It had a pretty cool arcade, but that was it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that it wasn't. I just think it's so interesting because there are so many places that embrace the hauntedness. And I think it's the ones that don't have it like to a particular area or whatever that are like, no, it's not happening. But that really sucks because it gaslights guests who are having an experience. I would just go, I don't know. Some people,
I mean, that's how many times we ask and the employees like, no. But then somebody will pull us over to the side and go, yes, it is. We just couldn't tell you, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, that officially, no, but yes, don't stay on the third floor. No, just kidding.
Yep. Or don't go in that and don't come here. We don't come here after hours and stuff like that. So, yep. Liam, you were gaslit and it was, I'm impressed you did all that digging. That was amazing. So, yeah, the Luxor is on my list of places that's going to be bulldozed, so we can't write about it, so because it's going to be gone by the time we get it done. So,
but I will say this: that's exactly what Mark does. Is he hears a little whisper of something, and then he goes down a rabbit hole if there is one, or just goes right into a door because there's nothing to go look at besides the door. So, you know, like, but otherwise Mark will go down that rabbit hole like you did. And I love that. And that's how you find out little nuggets like that.
Yeah.
Okay, Liam, thank you.
Liam. And that was a nice long story and very, very well done. So thank you.
Well written. Okay.
All right. We got a few short ones.
I'm just going to say Mark edited a couple of the cuss words as he was saying them because he can't bring himself to cuss as much as I do. So
sorry. Liam,
I appreciate every word you wrote in there.
Yeah, a couple, but
I know. I
dropped some F-bombs. I dropped some F-bombs.
I know.
It goes against my very being, but it's okay. So, all right.
Here we go. I once worked at a department store as a warehouse stalker guy. I hope that was your title, warehouse stalker guy.
Yeah.
One night I was on a ladder and I saw this girl. She looked like she was in her 20s, but was dressed like a little girl. She had blonde pigtails, a pink dress with a lacy tutu-like pink bottom on it. She was leading this old woman around the store, begging her for candy and toys, much like a small child would. I thought it was odd, but watching it from 10 feet above them. The old woman was not responding and just seemed dazed as this girl was throwing things in the cart and laughing. The girl turned and made eye contact with me, and I've never been more frightened in my life. Her eyes were blacked out, like blacked out contact style. She kind of snarled at me and laughed. It was terrifying. I got down from ladder in record time, went to my warehouse, terrified, and told my coworkers. They laughed at me and went looking for the duo and couldn't find them anywhere. They thought maybe it was a weird kink or something these two were playing out. The cashier said she saw the old woman buying all of the candies and toys, but there was no girl with her. I later learned about the black-eyed children phenomena, but this wasn't quite it. This girl was much older than those stories. A friend told me to ask you all about it. I've listened to a few episodes now. Thanks for sharing such cool stories, George.
Wow. Well, George, Eric and I just had a conversation about the black-eyed children not too long ago.
We did, and you brought me a wonderful print that's terrifying. And yeah, I'm going to see if I can hang it up because it's hard to look at. It's a gorgeous print, but terrifying to look at. But this seems like something else because this seems like needling, like almost like something, I don't know what the word is, like clinged on to the old woman, like kneeling her, like
kind of like a boo hag style or something like that, and like a spirit that's attached and making her buy all the things. Now again, she could have disappeared, and you know, and the granny was just buying stuff. Yeah, you know, she could have left the store separately. Sounds like this is a big box store if you got a warehouse and stuff. But yeah, that's definitely right out of the Black Eyed Children playbook a little bit. So maybe it's maybe the Black Eyed Teenager.
No, but we don't know what the Black Eyed Children are. Like, you know, it's weird, but
this is almost Fae-like.
Yeah.
In some of the style of this too, making a person buy them stuff and all that.
Especially sweets and toys. That's why it was like, it's
Yeah, that was my go-to there. So, all right. Well, thanks, George. And I hope the store is doing well for you. So,
and safe on the ladder. That's amazing. Good call on getting off the ladder because, okay.
It went bad. All right. My turn. Now, this is a question. So, does anyone have this happen to them? When I close my eyes to go to sleep, I see flashes of light. Sometimes I see what look like galaxies. I feel like I'm seeing through the universe. Dalyn.
Hello, Dalyn.
Hello, Dalyn. Yeah, so that's sometimes when you close your eyes, you will see, you know, the your retina is basically playing stuff on your eyelids. You're seeing, you know, any light coming in at all will reflect off your eyelids. And that's the, you know, your blood vessels and other things that are, you know, that's why you see floaters and things like that when you're staring at a negative space. But some people, that's where they zone out and try to get in tune and see through the universe. That is something you can do with that. That's how you, some people claim that's how they astral project and or do remote viewing. It's just zoning in on that stuff because maybe it isn't just your eyelids playing games. So
yeah, I also wonder if it's if it affects people that have been visited. That's the word I'm
looking for.
It super creepy, Dalyn, for you since I'm having to do this at night. So there you go. Go team. Yeah. I think the next one's pretty short. Let's do it and then take a break. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Okay, because it's about to ask a question. I can already tell that I have no idea. Right. Have either of you read They Flew, A History of the Impossible by Carlos Iyer? I was just starting it when my great Pyrenees puppy decided to teeth on it, but I rescued it before too much damage was done. Penny, Mark, have you read this?
I have not, Penny. I will throw that on the list.
So, I have not either, and I'm going to make Mark tell me about it once he's read it. Yep. And with any luck and little bit of seizure, he'll remember it and not have to read it again to tell me about it.
I might just do that. So, all right, we got one more quick short one. Let's do that. So,
okay, go for it.
All right. I had an experience and looking for any input. It happened outside my best friend's house in a rural area. We were having a random conversation and we both heard footsteps approaching from afar. Louder and louder, crunching through the dead fall leaves one step at a time until they sounded right next to us. But looking around, we saw no one. About the time footsteps stopped, the air instantly got hot around both of us. I mean, the outside temp was about 55 degrees and it went to like 100 to 110 instantly. Both of us took off running. It was the strangest thing ever. I know cold spots are supposed to represent some kind of spiritual activity. What do hot spots mean? Thanks. Keep me anonymous. Anonymous. All right.
Well, anonymous. Hello. And I, probably where I want to go with this is not where you think I want to go with what my first thought was.
All right. Ready? Yeah.
I think dimensional overlap.
A shift. Of some sort.
No, like dimensional, like two at the same time, right?
Okay.
Because I don't think it was like a demon, you know, which would be the immediate thing that you'd think. I mean, of course, Faye, we don't know what some of these, you know, hide behinds and stuff like that are like, but I haven't heard people talk about how it suddenly got warmer. I'm just wondering if two things sort of intersected for a moment, right? that was my immediate thought is, you know, not like a evil presence, but almost an overlap. Your thoughts?
My immediate thought was that, you know, there are some geological things that can happen when two, you know, an active geological fault crushes and suddenly it raises the heat in the area, stuff like that. It gives you that electricity in the air, but the footsteps, that's what throws me off, where you feel the footsteps and then you feel the heat. That sounds like something was nearby, something visiting and all that. So, yeah, a little something, something there. So, yeah.
But it doesn't sound malicious. There wasn't growling. There wasn't anything. It was just going, sup. And you guys were like, nope, nope, nope and out. Thank you. Yep. No, hard pass on whatever that is.
All right. On that note, we will be right back.
Destiny Beard, the lyrical soprano who will haunt your dreams. With her alluring melodies and intricate harmonies, this dark siren of wistful song shall capture your soul and lead you into the night. Check out Destiny's new single, The Haunting Is Over, with international musicians Sam Haynes and Gary Bennett, as well as her other musical works at destinybeard.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Boom. Let's keep on opening these presents. These are awesome.
Okay, here we go. Something happened today that I still can't explain. I've got chills. I swear I wasn't planning on messaging you today, but when it happened to me, so bizarre that I can't get it out of my head. That is how I like to be looked at, by the way, is something so weird happened, I need to tell Erica and Mark.
Yep, that's our life right there.
Okay. I was walking home, like always, nothing unusual, total normal day, when I saw a guy standing on the sidewalk holding a life-size cardboard cat. Not a plush toy, not a costume, a flat cardboard cat, like something straight out of a school project. And he was talking to it completely seriously. So what do you think, buddy? Should we take it or not? People kept walking by like this was the most normal thing ever. No one stares, no confusion. Meanwhile, I'm standing there thinking, is this a prank? Am I the only one seeing this? Here's the weirdest part. When I turned around, literally 3 seconds later, the guy was gone. Gone. Him and the cardboard cat. No corner to turn, no door nearby, just vanished. I don't know if I walked into a simulation glitch, a hallucination, or the beginning of a side quest, but my brain still refuses to process this. Have you or anyone else had a moment so surreal it made you question reality for a minute? Zach. My wow. Dearest Zach, I question reality on almost a daily basis, to be honest. That sounds like a glitch to me. It sounds like it's entirely possible you were seeing something nobody else was seeing, or people have just numbed themselves. But usually when something like that's happening, somebody's going to take out a cell phone and start recording. Because yeah. We love to document things like that and then post them on the internet.
Well, that's how like these flash mobs and stuff start. They do something weird, but they're expecting people to film it, react to it, stuff like that, because they want attention. This guy, it's not like he wanted a little attention, but then just disappearing on you, that's interesting. Sounds like somebody was beta testing an NPC and forgot to do the render.
Yes, and of your options, I want to vote side quest. I'm voting side quest. I want you to find that cat.
Yeah, he has an exclamation mark over his head, just kind of floating there, you know what you got.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that cat's name is Herman, and I would like you to find him. So your side quest is initiated, Zach. Tell us how it goes.
All right. Hashtag find Herman.
Find Herman. Right.
That's our new one. All right. Oh, man. Okay. Here we go. Greetings, travelers. Greetings.
Greetings.
Just heard your dear woman story and had to share mine. A few years ago, I was driving home through upstate New York and taking back roads through farm country. It was pretty close to dark at the time, but not quite pitch black yet. I drove by a field with a large herd of deer, probably 15 to 20. As I drove by, a deer in the middle brought up its head and looked at me. Something about this deer was off. Nothing specific, but the proportions of the deer just seemed off. Its legs a little too long, its body and shoulders not normally shaped, and its eyes seemed to track me differently than the other deer. Just seemed slightly different than all the deer around it. Almost like a drawing where someone couldn't quite capture the image in their mind. As it locked eyes with me, all the hair on my arms stood up and my instincts were telling me to run, get out of there, and don't slow down. I hit the gas and got out of there and nothing came of it. I've thought about it for years and driven by that field a lot and never had a similar experience or seen this deer again. What could this have been other than a deer woman? Thoughts? Near Syracuse, anonymous. Wow.
Well, anonymous. That sounds more like a deer woman than a not deer. So that's what I'm going to say. So,
yeah, definitely something with some, unusual extra joints, stuff like that. That sounds like something in mid shift, or something in mid transformation. Or it could be something pretending to be the deer and hang out with the deer. So that way it could, move amongst them. I will say deer, like that one veterinary lady we had on, mentioned a message just a while ago, and said, deers are weird. They do weird things. So we will say that. But
they do, but there's a feeling. That's where it gets me, is the feeling where you go, that's not right. We do, whether people want to believe it or not, have some kind of, I know people call it a lizard brain, but whatever it is that goes danger, danger on some core level, that feeling you get that a lot of us tend to ignore, unfortunately, unlike me, who will absolutely know bad of any situation like that. But it's that gut feeling you get when that happens. Deer are not, if they jump in front of your car, they can be dangerous. But in general, I love your analogy that they're just like really large squirrels.
Squirrels, yep. They just can't think straight and like, what? Do I go this way? Do I go that way? I don't know. We had one just come across the road the other night that had a big rack on his head as our first buck we'd seen all year. We'd seen lots of does. And he just kind of stood in the middle of the road for like a minute. We're like, dude, we got to go this way. And then he was like, okay. And then he bounced up the hill. So weird.
Yeah. No. And that's the thing. And so that would be my guess. It probably wasn't a deer. It probably was something else, but I mean, it could have been a deer woman. It could have been a shifter. Ooh. It could have been a fae. It could have been a guardian. You don't know. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of deer. So who the heck knows, but it sounds like you had a fun experience, Anonymous.
Yeah. Very cool. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm already deciding I don't want to read this story. I'm going to, but I don't want to.
Oh, it looks great.
Yeah, shut up. It does not. Unprompted this morning, my 5-year-old boy and I had the following conversation. Him, Daddy, the man in my room came again last night. Me, what man in your room? Him, the man with the hat and detective coat. He's black and stands by my closet, and sometimes he tells me hello. This kid is strictly monitored when he watches anything and consumes media. He would not know about the hat man at all. So how did he give a perfect description of what people describe encounters with this entity to be like? Is this similar to what anyone has experienced? I'm genuinely concerned as a father. Has anyone else's kids seen things that you just couldn't explain? Dan. Well, hello, Dan.
Hi, Dan. Welcome to our world.
Yes, I was going to say yes. Here is the thing. I don't think this is the hat man. I'm going to say that it sounds like he looks like that, but I don't think it is, because the hat man and the woman in white are probably were out on a date that night. No, I think the hat man tends to have a lot more ominousness. Like the kid would say he wasn't able to move whatever. Yeah. If this thing is just there saying hello, he could have an invisible friend.
Yeah, because that's normally more sleep paralysis related with the Hat Man and stuff like that. But
I would ask him to tell you more about it, and if that says anything to him. And if I was you, I'd go in the room and just say, listen, anything that's in here, you can be friends so long as you don't scare him and you don't do anything destructive, or then I'll remove you.
Yeah. And Hatman tends not to talk too much. Mm-mm. Yeah, there are some strange things in that. But people's kids seeing strange things. My kids saw strange things. I know I saw some strange things. That's just,
I saw strange things.
I think our eyes are a little more open back then. That's just... Yeah.
And we listen grow out to our episode on invisible friends. It'll tell you kids all the time see stuff. It's just a lot of parents and adults discount it as their imagination. But I bet if you ask him, he'd describe it more.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't feel threatened by it, I would not worry about it and just tell him that it's okay as long as he doesn't feel threatened. And if he feels like it's a problem, he can tell it to go away.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan. And hope your kid's cool. Sounds like he's cool.
And if you talk to him more about it, let me know. But don't freak out. The worst thing you can do sometimes as a parent is freak out until you know whether or not you should freak out.
Hopefully you validated him, because that's the key. You got to take the kids, say, hey, let me go see this guy. Let me show me where he's at and all that. Take it. Don't go, oh, there's no monsters in your closet. No, you know, take it. Take it like you need it. So,
yeah. All right. I was going to say, it's kind of like when kids fall. Sometimes you don't go, oh my God, you wait and go, and they'll look at you and you shrug and they're like, okay, get up, dust off and keep going. They're waiting for you to say this is a problem versus it's a problem.
So. Yeah. This next one was sent to me direct. And so I did read this one, but he said it was okay. I could share it as a listener tale. And then he sent me a follow-up. So here we go. Greetings, travelers.
Good evening, traveler.
I'm a longtime listener, and I'm writing to share an experience that has stayed with me for years. The story begins on a camping trip in Joshua Tree National Park with friends. On our last night, we gathered around the campfire under an incredible starscape, and we saw them, two glowing blue objects moving across the sky at impossible speeds, making maneuvers no conventional aircraft could. We were all left stunned and electrified. I fumbled with my flip phone, but the objects were gone before I could capture anything. The excitement carried into our drive home, where we rehashed every detail. And that's when I noticed the black car. It followed me at a distance, mirroring my lane changes. And when I checked my mirror one last time, it vanished completely with no exit in sight. It was my first real feeling of unease. The next day, that unease turned to dread as I arrived home to find a black Cadillac parked in my driveway. Two men in identical black suits, fedoras, and pale, almost olive-tone complexions approached me. Their appearance was off, plastic and expressionless. They spoke in a precise, raspy monotone that sounded strangely synthetic, and their gaze was intensely cold. They claimed to be from a division of the U.S. Air Force, and I knew exactly why they were there. They proceeded to ask a series of pointed questions about the sighting. Can you describe what you saw? Did you take any photos? Who else might have recorded it? Have you spoken to anyone? Are you withholding any information? I'm trying to remember them all. My instinct screamed not to cooperate. I was evasive, withholding details about my friends and the full extent of what we saw. They concluded by strongly advising me, more like threatening me, to never speak of the incident again and to forget it ever happened. They implied they would be watching. For a long time after, I felt a constant ominous weight always looking over my shoulder. To this day, I don't know who they really were or how they found me so quickly. I've had a few distant UFO sightings since, but no more visits from those men in black. Not yet, anyway. Do you think I met X? Thank you for your time, for the incredible work you all do. I think my wife got me your book for Christmas as we are planning to visit the Smokies next summer. Sincerely, Chad. Thanks, Chad.
Yes. Well, I think you need to read the second email before we go full whatever on this.
Yep. So second email from Chad's like, hey, Mark, thanks for the reply. I did find my list of questions they asked. I wrote it down just after they left, thinking it might be useful later. This was 8 years ago on. So questions. Can you describe what you saw last night? What do you think you saw? Did you take any photos of what you witnessed? Were there others who might have had recording devices or cameras? Do you know if anyone else recorded the incident? Have you spoken about this incident with anyone else who wasn't present with you that night? Did you find any unusual debris at the location you were at? Would you be withholding any important information from us? Thanks again for the reply. Looking forward to hearing y'all read it. Wondering if Liaison might come visit again. Not afraid anymore. I don't care who I tell. I want the world out there to know that it's okay to tell your story, Chad.
Wow, Chad. No, I don't think that was X, and no, I don't think that was Liaison.
No,
I think that was Men in Black. That's what I think.
Definitely classic Men in Black action. That's almost to a T the way they're described. And yeah, that was incredible, Chad. When you sent me that, I was like, holy cow, that's right out of the book.
No, it is. And we've already been told many times that our co-host X and his stand-in liaison are not Men in Black.
They expressly
told us that several times. So, I think
Men
that's
in Black go by numbers.
Yeah.
Men in Black go by numbers. So
that's what you encountered. That's what it sounds like. So
that sounds exactly like those guys. When I talked to those witnesses of the Crestview sighting, they had military eyes and a government man in a suit. And that goes all the way back to the 50s. This is still going on to this day. And it's one of those just, we're not sure what they are, who they are, where they come from. They do seem to show up instantly. It's pretty amazing. So.
Yes. Okay. So this next one says, hi, Mark.
Hi.
Wanted to follow up on the folk story and creepy family history story about Frankie and Johnny Silver story we briefly talked about at Krampus Night.
Oh, yeah. Krampus Night in Franklin, North Carolina. So, yeah, this was a great story you told me. I'm glad you mailed it in because I did have a spell that night, so I didn't remember it clearly. So I'm looking forward to this.
Okay, good. And by the way, travelers, if you do run into us out in the world and you tell just Mark a story and me or Carrie are not there, you might want to send it in because Mark has great days and he has some not great days. So sometimes he doesn't remember. We love him, but sometimes his memory can be a little flawed, except for remembering an obscure book from 1927, because apparently those don't get affected by this at all.
It's so, making new memories. That's the problem. So
yes. So here we go. Okay. I will do a brief summary of the story to the best of my knowledge. Several generations back, 1882, 1883 timeframe, on my mother's side of the family, there was a young couple of Francis Frankie and Charlie Silver. I'm not entirely sure why their name is a conflict, but the story goes that at Christmas in 1882, Frankie and Charlie had a conflict that ended with Frankie using an axe to deliver several blows to Charlie's head that killed him. I would think so, because one doesn't generally survive from several blows to the head from an axe.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Yeah. Okay. There are several versions of what possibly happened that night. One story says there was domestic abuse occurring and that after enduring this for a period of time, Frankie finally had enough and killed Charlie. Another story mentions infidelities and others cite alcohol as a factor as well. Ultimately, she cut the body up and attempted to burn as much as she could and disposed of the bones, teeth, and skull a short distance away from their cabin in a hollowed out tree stump. She then reported Charlie missing and that he hadn't returned home from a hunting trip. Charlie's side of the family had suspicions of the story and did a search around the property, which led to the discovery of blood remains under some of the floorboards and his skull, teeth, and bones in the hollowed out stump. Some stories say they had a conjuring man come up with a ball that had magical powers that was reported to help find clues or hints to reveal where the missing individual would be. When the conjuring man tried to do his methods, the ball really didn't provide much help or give any clues due to it being unknowingly placed out of the area of the floor that the excess blood had collected under, causing it not to roll around and give any hints on Charlie's situation. At the end of all this, Charlie was arrested for murder and stood trial, which ultimately led to her being the first woman hung in the area. I'm working with my mom to share what notes we both have, and there are things that I have missing that she may have. I do have a family history notebook that several articles mentioning pertaining to the murder, and I would be happy to share and make copies if you would like. I'm absolutely sure Mark would like.
Yeah. So,
I also have attached a few links that hopefully give a little better summary, as I feel like mine jumps around. My goal was to find credible sources that I could to help get you started in the right direction if you wanted to dive deeper. Unfortunately, none of the listed sources list the Contouring Man, and the only time I saw it mentioned in any of the articles were the ones I couldn't determine the credibility of the source. Laura. So.
Oh. Hi, Laura. Wow. And Laura, you've been on our Discord a little bit chatting with us, so we're happy to have you there. For those of you, you can even join our Patreon at the dollar level and join our Discord. So, you know, it's not a hard thing to do. The links are in the show notes. But, oh my gosh, that is a great story. When you told me it was Frankie and Johnny, I was like, oh, that sounds like the old song, Frankie and Johnny were lovers, and then all that. So now Frankie and Charlie, that makes it a little different. And now I can look it up. Thank you so much. I'm excited to see that. And if Frankie was the first woman arrested and murdered for murder and hung in this area, that should really be easy to track down. So
yeah, and Mark will go down the whole entire sordid tale. So
yep, and I will. Doing that might be a future episode. So
there we go. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. Looks like we got two left, Erica. You think we can handle that?
I think we can handle it. Might go a couple minutes over, but I think our travelers will be okay with that for this little holiday bump episode.
Yeah, so. You're all off work and resting and recovering from your holiday boxing Christmas presents and doing that. And if it's Boxing Day, you know what that means? BBC, Big Fat Quiz of the Year, comes out. So for those of us in America, we have to wait for it to leak onto YouTube, but we'll watch it. So my turn then.
Yeah.
Hi, Mark and Erica.
Hello.
I am a construction supervisor, but something I saw today genuinely messed with my head. I am a supervisor on new builds, so I'm usually the first one in and the last one out. I'm used to finding mistakes, random tools left behind, stuff half done, breakers not flipped, all of it. Nothing really surprises me anymore, but today actually bothered me. I walked this house, the electrician supposedly finished yesterday, just doing my normal checklist, fixtures hung, outlets tested, trash picked up, making notes for punch work. I get to one of the back bedrooms and I go to inspect the closet. The light in the closet is on. Not weird by itself, but the switch outside the closet doesn't do anything. I flipped it a few times, nothing. I think maybe they wired it hot by accident. So I go inside to unscrew the bulb. Except when I touch the bulb, it's not warm at all. Still lit, bright as hell. And that's when I'm like, all right, this is weird. So I called the lead electrician and told him that he might need to come back because the closet light is stuck on or something. He says, that room doesn't have a closet light. We didn't rough one in. There's no wire there. I literally stopped and just stared at this thing because I'm looking right at a working light, not an LED light. An old school one that we wouldn't have installed anyway. I closed the door and walked a short bit away, and I had to take a moment. I walked back inside the closet to take a picture of it, and it's on. Like, completely on. Switch still doesn't work, bulb cold, no buzzing, no flicker, nothing, just a dead fixture. I stood there probably a solid minute just trying to make sense of it because I know what I saw. I don't get freaked out easy, and I'm not the type who jumps around to paranormal stuff, but this one really got under my skin. I even went back after lunch just to double check, thinking I imagined it, or maybe another trade was messing with me. Still off, still no power to the switch, still no explanation. I didn't mention it to the builder because it sounds insane, and I don't feel like being the ghost house supervisor, but man, something about today just felt wrong. I've been replaying it all day, and I still can't figure out a single logical reason for it happening. If y'all know anyone who's seen something like this before, I'd actually love to hear it because I can't shake this one. George.
Well, hello, George. So, I would do a little bit of research into where you guys have decided to build these houses, because it doesn't even sound like the light being on was the main problem. Because if that's not a fixture you guys would install, what does that mean?
That sounds like, yeah, again, we were talking about a glitch in the Matrix or something where it's kind of the old house is remembering and you guys are moving into that area or something. It sounds like somebody wanted an old light bulb in that closet. I love that it was on, but cold and not anything. And I love you immediately went to a hotline, because that's, we did that accidentally at Hellview once, was when we were building the old haunt, we accidentally hot wired a light that we couldn't turn off and we couldn't figure out what we had done. And it was our electrician had just wired it hot instead of to the switch. So we had to call him back and have it fixed.
This doesn't sound like that. This sounds like something completely different, but George, having a cool light that's on is not necessarily a bad thing. So I know it's not going to hit your punch list, but you could always then, instead of going, hey, you need to come rewire this, you could go, hey, you need to come back and wire this.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like I said, it's just one of those, I think taking a deep breath where you walked away, took a deep breath, closed the door, came back, perfection. That's exactly what I would have done too. So,
because it's not necessarily a bad thing. It could be the start of a bad thing, but it doesn't sound like a bad thing. No. Yeah. It's weird. And now you've seen that too, George. So it can be on your list.
Yep.
I like it. Okay. Last story before we wrap up. It starts with forgive my English.
Hey.
Nothing to forgive, my friend.
Never a problem. Forgive me trying to pronounce all the names of even English names sometimes.
Oh, we know that he's pissed off the people in the UK. So trust me, nothing you write could possibly offend. Here we go. Yep. My uncle passed away recently after months of severe health issues at 68 years of age. His final days were painful and he carried a lot of bitterness towards his three sons. I'm very sorry to hear of your loss. Yeah. In India, we have a ritual on the 10th day after someone passes. The sons prepare a community meal, and the very first plate is offered to the departed soul. One of the sons took a bit of everything, dumped it on a plate in a messy mix, honestly, like how you feed a stray dog, and placed it somewhere alone for the soul. No one else saw where or how he kept it. Nothing happened for 2 days, but on the third night, something changed. Their young child, my uncle's grandson, suddenly started behaving in a way that terrified the entire family. According to everyone present, including the sons, this is what happened. The child started yelling in a deep, angry voice that was uncannily similar to my uncle's. Same tone, same lines he used when scolding his sons. He looked directly at the sons who ringed the ritual plate and shouted, "Why did you feed me like a dog? Why wasn't the plate kept properly?" Well, for almost 2 hours, the child spoke like the head of the household. He told them where some cash was hidden, instructed the family on how to maintain the home, warned his wife to be cautious, and demanded his sons take proper care of her. After 2 hours, the kid collapsed asleep. The local Tempest priest told them to tie cast iron on the child's arms and place an iron knife under his pillow. After that, the possession stopped completely. This isn't like the Hollywood style possessions with furniture flying around. It was a quiet, personal, specific, and frankly, way more disturbing. No one in the family's been able to explain how the child knew such details or mimicked my uncle so accurately. I don't know what to make of it. I'm not someone who jumps to the supernatural explanations, but they shook me in a way I can't rationalize. My friend said your show talks about this. He's from America and told me to tell you this story. His name is Alan Yusuf. Well, Yusuf and Alan, hello. Oh,
thank you.
This just absolutely sounds like your uncle. He probably was pretty close to the grandson. Children tend to be much more open to things than we are. And obviously he had a lot of stuff to communicate, and it doesn't sound like he was just mad about the plate. It sounds like he was mad about the plate, but not just about the plate.
Well, it sounded like the way it worked is that ritual, you know, they prepare the plate and it's just kind of offered, but then one of the kid grabbed it and just kind of, you know, took a
The kid didn't grab it. No, the son didn't do that properly. Right. Like, didn't do the right steps, but it sounds like that might have just been the final straw for the uncle, who was like, okay, I have a list of grievances, plus here are some things I forgot to tell you, and you better take care of my wife or they'll be held to pay. I don't think it's bad. I don't think the child's in any danger. I think that it was just a vessel to communicate. So that's my feeling, because there's no way that kid would know that stuff without the grandfather telling him.
And I think it's amazing that even there they used iron to stop.
No, iron's the right thing. And you know, if you're worried, you can always put a bracelet like on the kid with a little iron piece to it, or a necklace. I have a iron necklace. I wear it all the time. It's right there. I keep it with me. Mark will tell you, I will not leave, especially with him or Carrie, anywhere without it.
Yep. And that's 100%. And it's that, you know, I'm glad that the child's okay. I'm glad you had an extra visit from the angry uncle. And I'm glad he told you where the money was. That's important.
Yeah. And I would say this too, for your, for the sons and stuff, it might behoove them just to out loud intentionally acknowledge the things dad said. I'm not saying they have to agree to everything, but I'm saying acknowledge it. Just acknowledge that their dad had those worries and that they heard him and that they would do those things that they can do.
Yeah, I think 100% they did the right things and all that. You've done the right things. So That's great that it's passed. The time has moved on. But again, I would also tell those sons, hey, next time we have a funeral, you better do it right. You better make that offering the right way to do it. So, wow. What amazing stories this week.
Yes. This
month has been fantastic. So
it has been. And thank you, everyone, so very, very much for continuing to support us. We absolutely love it. Again, however you celebrate these holidays, I hope that it was magical and fun for you and that you had a great time with whomever you decided to surround yourself with. And Mark, with that, what is going to be your guidance for today?
Again, thank you, Patreon members, for keeping us afloat. Thank you to our sponsors, as always. Thank you all for these Christmas presents you gave us, for just sending us so many stories. And we love these all year. We've had dozens of episodes of this, and we know they're your favorites, so we're giving them back to you. That's what we love to do. Yes. So thank you all so much. And if you can throw a couple of bucks our way, go to the Patreon. We'd appreciate it. Nice little holiday gift for us. And you get some presents from Erica and Carrie, and sometimes some words from me that you kind of have to put up with. But anyway, all that said, happy holidays, gang. And when you're out there this year, and you're just doing that last little bit of traveling, keep your radio on. Watch for blue orbs in the sky. Watch for deer crossing the road that isn't quite right. Keep your eye out for a Bigfoot by the dumpster. And then when you get home, make sure the men in black aren't there. Go to the closet, say goodnight to the Hat Man, turn out the light, and then keep an eye open for that cardboard cat. And we'll see you on the other side.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.